Well, let us pray. Gracious God, here we are in need of hearing your word to us today. Send your Holy Spirit and do your work of teaching and inspiring us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week and next week, we'll be looking at texts from the book of Acts. And Acts is really Luke volume 2. And Luke, the author, tells us about what Jesus did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, we learn what the church, Jesus' followers, do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not surprisingly, they don't do it as perfectly. And today, we catch up with the church soon after they have been filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And we get this little snapshot of the church. Do you ever wonder if you're doing this well enough? You know, this Christianity thing? Not well enough to merit your salvation. You just can't do that. That's just a gift. But well enough to feel okay about yourself. A few years ago, a friend of mine asked me this question. How radical do I have to be? How much do I need to forgive people who have hurt me? How much money do I have to give away? How much do I have to love difficult people or love purity? How much do I need to stick out my neck or stand up for the vulnerable? How radical do I have to be? And that may be a question that nudges many of us from time to time. Am I doing this well enough? But you know, when I look at that, or you know, try to look at that from God's perspective, the question makes me even more uncomfortable, you know, because no parent wants to overhear their kids discussing just how little work they can get away with and still pass. No spouse wants to think their partner is doing the absolute minimum when it comes to loving them. And no employer rewards those who squeak by with just enough. So how does it make God feel to hear us wondering about how radical we have to be? As though the life of discipleship were an imposition and not an invitation. As though it were a test to pass and not a life to embrace. Well, around the same time my friend Penny asked me this question about how radical do I have to be, I had just finished reading a missionary biography about a couple who had left behind their comfortable life in Europe to live among the poorest of the poor in Mozambique. Pretty radical. They both had PhDs, so they had other employment options. They could have stayed in Europe, living the modest but comfortable life of professors, raising their children in a place with easy access to clean water, adequate sanitation, abundant food, and first world medical care. But compelled by love, they chose a radical life, a life of giving themselves away for the sake of others and for the glory of God. And I found their story both compelling and very uncomfortable. Now, our first snapshot of the church, which we heard read, shows us a church which is learning, loving, worshiping, proclaiming the good news about Jesus and sharing its resources. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Well, as another sort of uncomfortable paragraph, that's pretty radical. Now, when we read ahead a few chapters, we realize that this was not a requirement, and that people weren't just selling everything in order to join the church the way you would give away all your possessions to join a monastic order. But rather, as there was need, people sold their land and possessions to meet those needs. They used their assets to benefit others. Which brings us back to my friend's question, well, how radical do I need to be? And the trouble, I think, with that question is that it's a fear-based question. It's not a love-based question. The early believers weren't sharing their resources out of fear, you know, afraid they are going to flunk some cosmic test, but out of love. the love of God overflowing in their lives. They could, and so they did. Now, there's a question my spiritual director asks me pretty much every time I see her. What is God's invitation to you now? What is God's invitation, not God's requirement? Now, what are you neglecting to do, Susan? What unpleasant thing do you feel obligated to do? But how is God inviting you to be a vessel of God's presence now? You know, with your personality, your call, your limitations, your resources, your knowledge, well, as a person, God made you to be in the situation in which you find yourself. And when I ask myself that, what is God inviting me to now? Well, the competing questions lie down and go to sleep. You know, the questions like, am I doing this well enough? What do others think of me? How am I being judged? What am I going to get out of this? What will this cost me? Am I being recognized enough? You know, those questions look foolish and self-serving. When I ask myself, what is God inviting me to now? That question, how radical do I have to be? Well, that raises my fears. My fears that I might have to sell everything or adopt 10 special needs kids. Whatever seems impossible to me right now. Whatever I don't have either the grace or the calling to do right now. So I want to shut aside, I want to shut up that question. It's too threatening. But what is God inviting me to now? Now that's an invitation, not an imposition. And that question asks me to take a deep breath and release all of my performance-driven anxiety and refocus my attention on the living, loving Christ and lean up against his great good heart and relax enough to be useful. To be a conduit of God's presence by my words, by my giving, by my listening, by my action, by my prayers, just right now, wherever I am, wherever the opportunity to touch this world in love. And the more I lean against God's great good heart, the more I listen to God's words, the more I rest in God's presence, well, the better a conduit I am. Look at these early Christians. Our text tells us they devoted themselves to learning, to fellowship, to worship, to prayer. They met together frequently, praising God. They were filled with joy, and others experienced God in their presence. Others had their needs met from the overflow of lives filled up with love and joy and trust. What is God inviting you to this week? Let's take a moment of silence and ask God that question individually. Lord, keep prompting us with that question and keep showing us the answers that we might live as your people. Amen.